hearing, I know. So we're starting looking at this book of James, which is from the Bible, and we're thinking about...
Mike's not on.
We're thinking about... Hey, we're thinking about... we've lost two. All right, if you are in a box, you need to sit your butt on the floor right now, because we are... Yeah, it's already collapsed. It's like a... Yeah, that's quite a thing. Because just as you need practical skills in box making, in life, you need actual practical skills to get through. And all of us have practical skills in different areas. Put your hand up if you have practical skills in cooking. Anyone? Practical skills at soccer. Practical skills at coding.
Coding?
Oh. Yeah, practical skills at art. Practical skills at giving awkward hugs. Oh, yeah. Well, for me, the practical skills that I learned growing up, which were kind of TVs and videos and that sort of thing, but I've got a question for you, but I'm kind of attached. Can you chuck that to me, Nick? No, the other one. That's the one. Who knows what this is? Who can tell me what this is? Have a look at it. There's some telltale signs by the yellow and green tape on it. What is it? Yes. For an Xbox. That is exactly what this is. So let me show you what it connects to. So these guys are friends. This is an Xbox 360. It belongs to Matt Vanjie, and I promised him I wouldn't drop it or wave it around unduly. But these are important to fit together. And as we're thinking about practical skills, as James is talking to people, he's talking to people who believe in Jesus, who are Christian people, people who trust in Jesus, but they've got a problem. I want to tell you about what we're going to talk about today, ready? These are the three things we're going to talk about today. Firstly, I'll skip that one, go to the next one. Next one!
That's it, there's no more. There's no more.
Okay! I'm going to put another slide in. You guys are doing an excellent job. It's all my fault. Three things. So for those of you who are going to take written notes, you write these down. For those of you who are taking mental notes, you write these down. The Christian faith, that is being a follower of Jesus, is to, one, be used, two, be shared, and three, to be troubleshooted, which means kind of fixed when it's got a problem. James is talking to a bunch of people who trust Jesus. And this is what I want you to know from this. This bit here in the Christian life is like the faith that we have in Jesus. Okay? This is really important to your Xbox 360. If you don't have this, will it work?
No.
No. This is what connects you to the power source. By faith, we are reconciled to God through Jesus. This is the really critical bit. But James is not talking to people who doubt a faith. They've got this bit. And lots of you guys have this bit. You trust in Jesus. But James notices this really weird problem. He's talking to people who keeps talking about their Xbox 360. It's amazing. Look how good it is. Look at the cable. Look at the specs. Look at the color. Look at the memory size. Look at the subscription I've got. It's amazing. But this person never, ever uses it. That's what he finds so weird. It's like you've got this amazing Xbox 360, but you never, ever use it. And the problem is not that it's not connected. It is connected to the mains. This person is a Christian who, by faith, is connected to God, and yet they're not using their Xbox 360. All right, have a think. What would you say to a person who's got an Xbox 360, they talk about it all the time, it's plugged in, the power cord works, but they never use it? What would you say to them?
Use it. Turn it on. Use it.
Sell it.
Someone said, sell it. You need better priorities. We'll come back to that. But yeah, the most obvious thing is to use it. The Xbox 360 is designed not just to be on, but to be used. And the Christian faith is designed not just so that you can say, I have faith, but so that you can use it and enjoy it and benefit from it. The Christian faith is very practical. Let me take a step back, actually. We're talking about a guy called James. Who is James? You guys do have a slide for this one. There's a couple of verses here that tell us who James is. From Mark chapter 6, verse 3, isn't this Mary's son? That's Jesus. And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. So James is the brother of who?
Jesus.
From Galatians 1:19, Paul writes, I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. So James is Jesus' brother. And he is held in such kind of high regard that Paul would go and say, James and Cephas, that is Peter, who's kind of really important in the Bible, and John, also really important in the Bible, are esteemed as, thought highly of as pillars. James is really important. James is as important as Peter and as important as John. And James is writing to these Christians who believe in Jesus, but somehow are not living it out. They don't have the practical skills to live as a Christian, and that's our hope for us this week. Christians are called to live the best life. Every week we have people visiting and checking out Christchurch, youth checking out TC. You bring them along, you pray, you invite them, they come along, and they're looking to see what sort of life it is that we lead. I really believe, I kid you not, I really believe that Christians live the best of life, not the easiest life. If you're after the easiest life, you're in the wrong place. But if you want to live the best life, then this is the right place. In verse 25, it was read for us so well before, it said that the people who obey God's word are blessed in what they do. And there's a couple of lies I want you guys to be aware of, okay? One of them is that the non-Christian life is better. That you will have a better life by being a non-Christian. And I just want to knock that straight on the head, but I hope that this term, as we look at what it means to live as a Christian, you'll go, actually, that does sound pretty good. I hope that if you're a non-Christian who's come along, try this. Try this whole Christian thing on. Come and experience, hopefully, friendship, hopefully fun, hopefully some of the wonderful things of what it is to be a Christian, and consider, is this place, this community, what God is doing here, better than what is offered elsewhere? So the Christian life is supposed to be lived out. We'll come back to that in a minute. But it's not only supposed to be lived out, it's supposed to be shared. Those blessings that we have by obeying God are supposed to be shared with others. So we read from verse 14, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? The heart of the Christian life is not about you. So sorry to tell you that. It's actually about the other person. It always has been. So in Mark 10, Jesus says, I have come not to be served, but anyone?
To serve.
In Mark 12, Jesus summarizes the commandments, the heart of what means to live the Christian life. He says, love the Lord your God and love who else? Your neighbor as yourself. It's about the other person. In fact, Father, Son, and Spirit from the beginning, from before the beginning, have always been about loving the other. Which is why practically living out the Christian life is good for you, but it's also good for others. Which is why this is saying, if you're not helping other people, something's gone wrong. If your Xbox 360 is not being enjoyed by you, that's a problem. But if you're not sharing that with others, you're still not using it right. It's supposed to be used and supposed to be shared. Has anyone ever had the experience of watching someone else eat food while you have nothing to eat? Anyone have an experience wave at me? It's just the worst. And you can imagine someone eating an extra large bag of hot chips and they're fresh out of the fryer and the oil was just replaced and they're crispy and salty and fluffy and you have to eat them in such a way you have to go and this person's eating the whole packet and you've got nothing. And the person turns to you and says, I'm sorry you don't have any chips. But I hope one day you get to enjoy the sweet, salty, fatty, crispy, delicious, fluffy goodness. Don't say the word out loud because you'll get in trouble. But you're thinking a word about them now. It's not a kind word, is it? This is what James is talking about. He says, if you see someone else who's got a problem and you say, wow, good luck with that, or in his words, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but you don't bother to help them, well, what good is that? You're not sharing the blessings of being a Christian around with others. So I wonder, do the blessings that we experience as Christian people, does that overflow into this room? I really hope that this place is remarkably different than your schools. This is a room where we welcome everyone. This is a room where we can laugh together and cry together. This is a room where we can encourage one another without being fear of being met with a sarcastic response. This is a room where we can pray big prayers together and wait to see what God does with it. I hope that this is a room where under God we see people become Christians this term. I really pray that this place is different and that when others come and you invite others to come, that they see that this is a place where we not only receive the blessings of Christ, that is, use the Xbox ourselves, but that we share those blessings around. So how do we do that? Who can tell me who was voted the worst dressed celebrity this year?
Nicki Minaj.
You said Nicki Minaj? No, close.
Close.
Anyone? Worst dressed celebrity.
Pharrell Williams.
No. It's Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yes.
Now, do not Google this. Bad things will happen to your eyes. And what can be seen cannot be unseen, right? Okay? But what I find weird about this is that somewhat Miley Cyrus woke up in the morning, put her clothes on, looked in the mirror and go, yes, this is the look I'm going for, and walked away, okay? The purpose of the mirror is for you to go, oh my goodness, I've made bad choices in my life. I need to go and get changed into something more appropriate. And here we read in James chapter 1, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. When we read the Bible, some people are like that. They read the Bible and they see that there's a difference there and they, rather than going, wow, I need to go get changed, they go, that's perfect. And then they move on with their life. They've forgotten how much they need to change. You can't imagine Angus waking up in the morning and going, yes, hot pants and a wrecking ball. That's the look I'm going for. No. Don't dwell on that image too long. Here we go. I need to get changed. And that's what we want to be doing with this practical wisdom, reading the Bible and being changed as a community. Not just listeners to the word, but doers. This term we'll be talking about, amongst other things, mental health, coping with divorce, money and giving, peacemaking and the internet, the trolls, planning, travel and career, welcoming people from every nation, every socioeconomic background, bullying, prayer, forgiveness, seeing friends become Christian and more. Christianity, following Jesus, is super practical and we'll learn all about those things. The last thing is, if someone never turns their Xbox on, someone's there before, maybe you should sell it. Here in James it says, faith without works is dead. If it's not, never turned on, maybe you need to do some troubleshooting. If you're a person who believes in Jesus, are you living it out? And if you're not living it out, you need to ask yourself, why? Do I need to make a decision? No, I am serious about this. Because being a Christian is not about passing a Bible quiz. James goes on to say, the devil is really good at passing Bible quizzes. It doesn't make him a Christian. If you're a person who is not living the Christian life, I want to ask you right here, are you legit? Are you serious about this Christian stuff? You need to ask yourself some hard questions. And you're amongst friends. We'd like to pray with you about that. Last danger for this term, and it's a real danger, I think, is that I will stand up here, and as Angus and Nat my preach, will tell you, do this, do this, do this. And they'll walk out of here going, I can do this, and then when it all falls over and you find it hard, you'll become discouraged. And so that is why I want us every week to be thinking about how Jesus has done these things before and Jesus has done these things better than us. Remember the chips analogy? Hear that? And we're talking about go in peace, I wish you warm and well fed. Well, in life, we're not the person with the chips. Jesus is the guy with the chips and we've got big problems. Apart from Jesus, we are lost in the world. Apart from Jesus, we have no friendship with God, no forgiveness, no fellowship as part of his church, no hope for the resurrection from the dead. Apart from him, we have nothing. And Jesus could have looked at us and said, wow, you guys have got big problems. Go in peace. I wish you warm and welfare. Like, I hope good things for you, but I'm not actually going to do anything practical to help you. Is that what Jesus did? No. Jesus saw our problems, and he came into the world. He lived the life we couldn't live. He died a costly death for us. He rose again, because Jesus is not all talk. He's about putting it into action for us. And he calls us, as his people, to be people not just of all talk, but of putting it into action. All right. Our loving Father, thank you that you have loved us in word and in deed. We pray that you would help us to read the Bible, help us to understand it, help us to delight in it, help us to do what it says. Amen.
Amen.